In the sporting field, there's a phrase used, if a team is struggling, that what they have to do is go back to the basics. Those of you who are sports-minded, you'll understand what I'm talking about. For an example, a basketball team, they just go back to the basics of running, passing, shooting, dribbling, and they just go over and over and over again. I think in the Christian walk, we can do the same. At times, we need to go back to the basics. Sometimes we get so engrossed in life that some things sort of get swept away to the side of our lives. For this Sunday and next Sunday, I want to go back to the basics of faith. Now, already you know, well, I have faith. But I think the Lord is challenging us, each of us. When I was putting these messages together, I was challenged by them. We all know that to receive Christ as Savior and to be born again, we must do it in faith. But I wonder if our faith continues on into the rest of our lives. The Bible teaches us that we must live by faith on a daily basis. In fact, it's some days it's a moment-by-moment basis. Yet all of us fail at this, and because we create in ourselves all kinds of problems, spiritual and emotional and otherwise. Even when it seems like we have success at times, we are really not aware of the potential for life because God is not in control. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." William Barclay, a theologian, translated it this way, "Faith means that we are certain of the things we hope for, convinced of the things we do not see." Faith is assurance or certainty, or as the New English Bible puts it, gives substance to what we hope. Faith is not this wishful, cross-your-fingers, lucked-out thing, but rather a solid and real and filled promise. There's a number of scriptures I just quickly share with you in regards to this. Jesus says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." We accept that on faith. "I have come to give you life and give life more abundant." "He who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We accept these scriptures on faith. Now, faith is also conviction, being certain, convinced of what we cannot see. When you got up this morning, what was the first thing that you did? In the darkness, hopefully you turned on a light. How do you know that light was going to work? Well, you assume that it's going to work because there's electricity flowing to the lamp. How do you know there's electricity flowing to the lamp? Have you ever seen it? No. Now, of course, if we have monitors, we can see it. But basically, we accept the fact is that there's electricity running through the system. And when we turn the switch on, the lights will go on. There's another conviction. And that is that God created the heavens and the earth. How do we know that? Well, I can't explain it. I'm not a scientist. I believe it. I believe it, and that's the Bible says so. The Apostle Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded." That word persuaded is convicted, convinced, or certain, that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What did he entrust to God? Was his life. And then in verse 6 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, we read, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him." Is the desire of your life to please God? I know it isn't mine. And one of the ways that we can please God is to trust Him and to believe what He says is in His in His Word. Then we need to trust Him in faith and believe what He says. And when we do, He will reward us because we seek Him to give us life. Now, there's an example. The message this morning is faith to build, and the example I want to use today is from the Scripture, from chapter 11, by faith. It says, by faith, Noah. Now, let's consider the faith of Noah, of this man of God. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in the first five chapters of Genesis, that covers a time period of about 1,600 years. It's interesting. Five chapters covers 1,600 years. The generations from Adam to Moses and to Noah. And then in Genesis 6:5, it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. I was looking up what that wickedness was, and I saw that it was violence. Man was violent towards man. But then in Genesis 6:8, it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was told to build an ark in the middle of the prairie. Noah had no point of reference. What was an ark? What was a flood? What was rain? It hadn't even rained up until that time. Earth had not experienced rain, and yet it was in a vivarium effect. Noah took God at His word, and despite the ridicule and laughter that was hurled his way, for 100 years he and his family worked on this ark and were saved. Now, Noah did not consider the opinion of others around him. He most certainly must have felt foolish at the time, but rather he believed God and obeyed even though he neither understood or had any experiences. Now, I believe that as Christians, we're called to build an ark. We're called to have no less faith than Noah had. And yet we have a tendency to have faith from various points of reference in our lives. In other words, we can trust God only thus far because that is only as far as He took us in the past. And that's a danger as Christians, is if that's how we live, is, well, God did it that way before and He's going to do it that way again and He can't do it any other way. Our faith then is a result of past experiences rather than allowing God to take us into the unknown. It is based on what we have seen rather than on God's promises. Two examples I want to give to you. The first one is church budgets. Some of you have worked on the board with church budget, and you know I've been in churches for a number of years, and it's been one of those things that's been a difficult thing to deal with. Because we look at church budgets, and what we say is, well, that's what people gave last year, and maybe we can increase it a little bit this year. What would happen if God came along and said to us, I want you to double your budget? We would be fearful. My wife, Karen, who's not here today, she's not well, has several times told me the story of the church that she attended in Kamloops. And God came to the pastor of that church, and God said to the pastor, you build a new building, and I'll fill it. And Karen said that they went ahead and they built a new building, and within a very short period of time, God's promise was filled, and they filled it with people. That's faith. That's stepping out and trusting God. And what about new ministries? We've just had Colleen and Jamie share this morning. This is a new ministry. I'm excited about it. I can see the possibility of it. Quite a number of years ago, I served in Ministry of the Union Gospel Mission in Vancouver. And I worked with street people. And I worked with the down and out. And I worked with the reality that these people need the Lord Jesus every bit as we do. And what a wonderful thing is to see this new ministry being birthed here in our church. I wonder where we would be today if Noah tried to come up with a very logical reason as to why he could not build an ark. We get that a lot. We look at God and say, well, God, that's not logical. I think that as Christians, we need to leave the logical awareness to the Vulcans in Star Trek and reach out in an illogical way to trust Almighty God. Now, I want to read a scripture because this is where Noah found himself as he was building this ark. And there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 26. He says, Paul says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. What is the scripture saying is that God uses things and people not in a logical way, that in faith he uses us to step out. Now, this was Noah's position. Certainly what he did seemed foolish to the world. Certainly a family of eight would not be considered strong, but rather weak in comparison to the rest of the world's population. They believed and obeyed, and the result was a salvation and blessing. Now, the question is, what is the ark God is calling us to build? What is the ark God is calling you as an individual to build? I think that there's a number of areas that we can look at to see this ark that God wants us to build. First of all, the ark may be salvation. Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you committed yourself to him? Have you asked him to come and live in your life and in your heart? And have you confessed your sins and sought forgiveness? That's the first part of the ark. It has to start with our relationship with Christ. It is to allow Christ to become the Lord of our lives, to be the King of Kings. I remember when I was working with youth a number of years ago, 100 years ago, it seems like, one of the things that I try to instill upon young people is that when God comes into their life, when Christ comes into their life, he comes into all of the life. And we often hear, we often have this thought, well, Christ, you can have this part of my life, but this part of my life belongs to me. And I used to teach them that, no, God wants all of it. He wants the living room and the kitchen and the bedrooms and the closets and the basement of our lives. He wants all of that. And that's what salvation is all about, is allowing Christ to be totally in control. So that's the first stage of building an ark. The second stage is trusting. It may be that you are to have faith in God within a certain circumstances. Maybe there's something happening in your life that you're not sure what to do about. Maybe there's a relationship that you're struggling with. And maybe there's things that are happening that God wants to be part of. And so in order for God to be part of it, we have to reach out in faith to trust him. He knows the situation. He knows who you are. And he cares about you. And he's willing to work things out. The third part of that building, that ark, is in vision. What is our vision as an individual in my Christian walk? What is our vision as a church? We have a number of visions in our church. This morning, we're given a new one. I think that's exciting to have to reach out to others. Jesus has said that unless when you do it unto the least of one of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. And how gracious that would be. So vision is building on something that there's no point of reference. Do you understand what I'm saying when I talk about this point of reference? We live in a life where, well, I've experienced that, so that's going to happen because I've experienced that. That's a point of reference. Faith doesn't have a point of reference other than God. And so what we have to do is look at the situation and look at our lives and say, God, I have no point of reference. Noah had no point of reference. He didn't go to some shop and get a blueprint for an ark. Nobody had ever built an ark before. Had he gone and done that, and they would have said, well, why are you building this? And Noah said, well, it's going to rain. And they would have said, what's rain? Because it hadn't rained yet. There was no point of reference in regards to it. And faith is that way. There isn't any point of reference other than God. And because it happened this way here, doesn't necessarily mean God is going to do it the same way here. He'll do it something totally different. I don't know if you've ever studied the Gospels and studied the life of Jesus. And Jesus did many miracles in his life. But he never did the miracles the same way twice. There's two or three instances of healing blind men. And he never did it the same way. And so if we think that God will always do something the same way, our faith is not very strong. We need to realize that apart from what we're experiencing, God is available to do that. And then the next part of building an ark is in serving. It may be that any one of us have been chosen to serve him in a special way. We have lots of needs in the church. Lots of needs in the church that to go out and serve others. We have a need for children's workers here in the church. We have a need for nursery workers at times in different areas. And maybe that's part of what God is saying. Listen, I have a need. I need you to serve me. And for us to step out in faith. And then the last thing is it may be just plain and simple that the ark you are to build in faith is just to be faithful to him. I was raised in a Christian home. I'm very grateful for that. I have to tell you that when I was a youth pastor down in the States, we used to bring in people who had this terrible background and had God saved. And that was wonderful. And they'd come and share it with the young people, how this is what I was, and now this is what I am. And we'd praise God. The young people used to say, well, what is your background, Pastor Ed? Well, I was raised in a Christian home. I'm grateful for that. But one of the things that I was raised with is my dad particularly taught his sons to be faithful. Faithful to God and faithful to the church. And that's how I was raised. And I can't ever imagine not being in the church, not just because I'm a pastor, but just because that's how I was raised. The church became part of my life. And to be in the church, it meant that I needed to serve. I wanted to serve. I remember we were in a little church in Calgary, and I was probably maybe 12 or 13, and I went to the pastor, and I said, Pastor, I want to do something on Sunday mornings. And he said to me, well, he said, how would you like to hand out bulletins? We used to have bulletins in those days. And I said, well, I'd like to do that. He said, okay, you come at this time, I'll give you the bulletins, and everybody comes in the door, you hand them a bulletin. I was so excited about that. And in this particular church, we had a balcony like we have here. It wasn't used to seat people, but you could go up and look down. And so the pastor got me to be a counter. So I used to come down and I used to go up and count everybody. And I'd write it down and I'd bring it to the pastor. Serving. God needs all of us, not just a few, but all of us to serve. Now, how do we deal with this? Back in the 1920s, there was an era when there was a lot of daredevils on the scene, people who did daredevil tricks. One of the daredevil tricks was to stretch a rope across Niagara Falls and to have tightrope walkers walk across this rope. There was a number of men who did this over a period of time. There was a man, a Frenchman, by the name of Blondini, and he had walked this tightrope several times. He had done it blindfolded. One time he did it with a wheelbarrow, and the wheelbarrow had a wheel that was inverted so that it sat on the wire, and he pushed the wheelbarrow across this wire. Well, it seems that this one day that he was doing this, quite a crowd had gathered. Up to about 25,000 people at the side there where he was going to finish. As he stepped off onto the platform, there was a young boy standing there, and his eyes were as big as saucers to see this man do this daredevil trick. So Blondini said to him, "Do you believe that I could take you across this rope, across this Niagara Falls, in the wheelbarrow?" And the young boy kind of nodded his head, didn't say anything, but nodded his head. And so Blondini said, "Okay, get in the wheelbarrow." With that, a look of terror struck this boy, and he turned and ran as fast as he could away, never to be seen again. And I've often thought that isn't that how we are with God sometimes? We watch God do miraculous things, and then when God wants to involve us, we get fearful. I think this morning he's saying to us, get in a wheelbarrow. Trust me. I have all kinds of wonderful things to show us, show you, and to demonstrate to you. My desire is that you would know who I am. Nathan, do you want to come forward, please, with the band? We need to get alone with God and listen to His Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. And in faith, go and do what we are told to do. It's very, I want you to know that Colleen sharing this morning was not... it was not accidental, but it was God. Because He's saying to us, listen, I have something. And you all can be part of it if you trust me and if you love me and you want to go forward with that. Let's pray. Father, this morning we have seen through Your Word what it means to have faith and trust. Lord, sometimes, and I confess this within my own life, sometimes it's difficult to trust. Sometimes it's scary to trust. And yet, Father, we know that only through faith can we understand Your will for our lives. So I pray that as we go from this place today, that this week would be an opportunity for us to step out and say, Father, okay, I don't understand, I've never been there before, but whatever it is, I'll trust You, because that's what my faith is all about. Thank You, Jesus, that You believe in this. We believe in You, but You also believe in us. And I pray that as we go from this place, that our faith would grow would grow in such a way that that trust in you would be even stronger than ever before. Thank you, Jesus, for our time together. In your name we pray. Amen.